If you're like me, there have been moments in your life where you have had a moment of terror or panic, realizing, I don't know if I'm going to be able to learn this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit this in my head. The first moment I ever remember feeling this was actually in kindergarten. I was in Mrs. Blankenship's class at my desk, and I remember looking up at the blackboard, and probably like almost every classroom in America, it had the alphabet above the blackboard, all those letters, those characters. And I remember as a kindergartner putting my hand on my head thinking, I'm never going to be able to learn this. How am I ever going to remember all of this? I did. I learned the alphabet. I learned how to read. But that moment of panic and terror was something that I vividly remember. And there were other times in my life where this happened too, as I continued in my educational career. I remember taking algebra and thinking, how am I ever going to learn interests and compound interests and all these difficult formulas, and sitting down with my dad at the kitchen table and going over it again and again and again, or learning lists of vocabulary words, hundreds of vocabulary words, and just stuffing all of those definitions into my head. And then getting to college and studying nursing and all of the prescription medication formulas and doses. And, whoa, this is really important because if I screw this up, that could be really bad. And learning all of the anatomy and the different names of the human body. Moment after moment in my life, but then having that similar reaction. How am I ever going to fit this into my head? How am I ever going to learn this? How am I ever going to remember this? Hard teachings, hard things to bring into myself. And I think some of us can have this same tendency with our spiritual lives, the teachings of God, the ways of God. We can think, how am I ever going to fit this into my understanding? How am I going to ever wrap my mind or wrap my heart around these difficult things? You look through the catechism, or you hear things at church, or you hear things through different outlets, and you wonder, how am I ever going to fit this into me? It's a real challenge. It's a real problem when we are faced with hard things, hard teachings. What do we do? And if I have that mentality of, I have to fit this into me, I have to fit this into my understanding and my brain and my heart, I think we're set up for failure, actually. Because when that challenge comes and we realize, this is too hard, I actually can't fit this into me, I can't remember this, or I believe something different, and this doesn't conform with the way that I understand the world, we're set up for failure. Because then I think we come to a crossroads, and many people, when they face that crossroads, come to the decision, well, I have to leave. I have to depart because this is too hard. This is something I can't actually fit into my understanding. It's something I can't reconcile with my beliefs. And many turn away and leave. And many of us know people who have done that. Now, when they've found something too challenging, too hard, they've left. They've left the practice of their faith, or they've found another church that fits more into their beliefs and understanding. When we have this mindset of, I have to fit this into me, it often drives us to that decision. I either leave with my feet and physically leave, or maybe I leave with my heart, and I'm still here in the pews and still wrestling, but really coming to a decision of, well, I'm just going to have to shelve this because I don't think I'll ever understand it. I don't think I'll ever believe it. And there's this tendency. And I think we see this in the gospel today, this gospel that comes at the end of John's sixth chapter that we've been marching through over the last 5 weeks, the bread of life discourse in which Jesus talks about the Eucharist, this central belief of Christianity that the Eucharist really is Jesus's body and blood, and that if someone doesn't consume it, he has no life within him. Then we get to this sixtieth verse today in the sixth chapter of John's gospel. And we hear the difficulty it was for so many to understand Jesus and to receive this teaching. They murmur among themselves, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" But Jesus doesn't correct them. He doesn't say, wait, let me help you with this. It's just an analogy. It's just a figure of speech. It's just a symbol. Don't go. Let me, come on, stay around. He doesn't actually chase after them. He lets them go. We read here, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life, and they no longer accompanied him. That's a great tragedy as we read that and hear those words today, that many who came to that crossroads, that place of hardness, actually departed and Jesus let them go. And again, we know people who have done this. We have people in our own families or our own friends who have come to those challenging points. Or maybe we've wrestled with things too and we're still wrestling with them. Maybe it is for us the understanding of the Eucharist. Maybe it's some social teaching of the church, abortion or immigration. Maybe it's some moral teaching of God. Maybe it's one of those, we'll call them pelvic issues that we always hear about. Maybe it's some hardness or some difficulty that I've wrestled with and just haven't been able to reconcile. And it's someone in our own family, it's someone in our friend circle, or it's me that left in some way. And there's this difficulty if I try to fit the teachings of God and the ways of God into my head. Maybe even, I chose to read the long version of this letter to the Ephesians today. This is a hard teaching, isn't it? Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Every time this is read, you know, we squirm a little bit. We've wrestled with these things, and some of us have left. Some of us have departed. But I think, brothers and sisters, there's actually another way of going about this. It's not so much fitting God's ways and God's teachings and all that understanding into me, into my head, into my heart. But what if I tried to do the opposite? What if, rather, even in my difficulty, I tried to put my mind and my heart into the mind and into the heart of Jesus? What would it look like if rather, when I faced difficulty and hardness, I actually turned the other way, turning towards Jesus, saying to him, I'm actually going to cast my mind and cast my heart into your mind, into your heart, rather than try to cram you into me. Rather than conforming you to me, I actually want to be conformed to you. And I think this is really the way of fruitfulness, the way that we actually wrestle with these hard things in fruitful ways. I think it's what Peter was able to recognize. Peter and the 12, when Jesus turns to them and he says, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter said, "Master, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go if we turn away from you?" He says, "You alone have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." And that doesn't mean Peter didn't continue to struggle and wrestle, but he chose not to conform God to himself, but rather conform himself to God and to cast his mind into his heart, into God's mind, into God's heart. Now, we heard in that second reading this analogy of the body, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And if Jesus is our head, then we have to locate ourselves in him, in his headship. We have to locate ourselves as members of his body. St. John Eudes, he was this priest who lived in France in the 12th century, and we actually just celebrated his feast day this past week, and he used this analogy that's, I think, very, very helpful for us in a way that we can wrap our minds about how we place ourselves in God rather than trying to place him in me. St. John Eudes wrote, "I ask you to consider that our Lord Jesus Christ is your true head and that you are a member of his body. He belongs to you as the head belongs to the body. All that is his is yours. His breath, his heart, his body and soul, and all his faculties, his intellect and his will. If I'm connected to the head, then all of that belongs to me." And then he turns it the other way and says, "You belong to the Son of God. But more than that, you ought to be in him as members are in the head. All that is in you must be incorporated into him. You must receive life from him and be ruled by him. There will be no true life for you except in him, for he is the only source of true life. Apart from him, you will find only death and destruction." That's what happens when we turn around and walk away from the Lord. We'll find no life in that direction. But St. John Eudes says, "Let him be the only source of your movements, of the actions, and the strength of your life." Brothers and sisters, this is perhaps a difficult thing for us to receive, this reality that if I walk away from the Lord, if I walk away from the ways of God, that there's no life there. But let us receive that as God wants us to receive the life he's intended for us. As we gather around this Eucharistic table today, and as you receive the Eucharist, remember that when we receive him, he receives us. And so let us locate ourselves in his mind. Let us find ourselves in his heart. Even in the challenges that we wrestle with, let us cast those into God, that we would find ourselves there, and that everything he has will be ours and everything we have will be his.